The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You're watching Veterans Week coverage on ESPN, brought to you by USAA.
We're so glad to have you here on NFL Live. So much more coming your way as we come off of Monday Night Football. NFL Live is presented by USAA. We welcome you in here. He's waving. That's Swagoo.
He's in a good mood
Ryan
today.
Carson.
I have no idea why, but he's in a good mood.
Thank you very much, man.
That's Dan Orlovsky.
And now everyone's in a good mood because of you.
Well, I mean, we love it when he's in a good mood. He's usually in a good mood.
Yeah.
The things that put him in a bad mood are
rarely.
You.
Rarely.
That's like
okay.
One thing. Things.
The one thing.
Dan.
Just kidding. We love you, Dan. Okay, lots of info on Josh Allen's elbow injuries coming your way before our first commercial break. You don't want to miss it, I promise. But Let's get to week 9, the way it ended in New Orleans on Monday Night Football.
Ooh,
and that's where we begin. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Ooh, he's ready to go. Get ready to take on the Saints. Late in the first quarter, no score. Ravens with first and 10 at the Saints 24. And Jackson looks like he's going to run it. But he finds likely.
I actually love this play call because it was directly after they called Lamar run on third down. They set it up, easy touchdown.
Ravens up 7-0, under 5 left in the first half. Ravens driving second and 10 from the Saints 24. Jackson almost tackled. He escapes like only he can. Ravens into the red zone. A few plays later, first and goal from the 1. And Jackson hands it off to Kenyon Drake. More on him in just a moment. He scores easily, and the Ravens go up 14-0. 20 seconds left in the half, and Andy Dalton had to be thinking about that all night long, Dan.
Big time miss. They got a beautiful 2-minute drive to end the half, and they missed that. Only equals it a field goal.
8 minutes, 30 seconds left in the fourth. Saints trailing 20-6 on their own 25. Dalton throws tipped and intercepted by Justin Houston, who had quite a game. The Ravens grabbing a hold of this one after the interception. First and goal from the 3. Jackson handing it off to Drake. He fights his way in for the score, and the Ravens go on to win it 27-3.
That man, Lamar.
He loves it. Okay, the Ravens ran for 188 yards in the win, their 8th straight game with at least 150 rushing yards. That's the longest streak by any team within a season since 1985 when the Bears and Raiders did it. Of the previous 6 teams to have a streak this long, 4 of them went on to win the Super Bowl. We put that in for you, Dan, because you picked the Ravens to.
I did.
Did you pick them to win the Super Bowl? I took them to win
the Super Bowl.
Yep. Okay, there you go. You may look really, really smart. But let's go back to Kenyon.
I'm listening, bro. I didn't say anything. Sheesh.
Look at him looking at you waiting for something.
Right.
How does Kenyon Drake fit in that run game for the Ravens?
Oh, the speed. Like the one thing that I'm seeing his element has added beyond on the perimeter is inside the tackle when that RPO is being ran, like having a true back with crazy breakaway speed. And Kenyon Drake is running physically too. Like when he was in Arizona, you saw some of this, but I think being in this system where you do have an opportunity for cutback, stick your foot in the ground and get north and south, he's very effective in this. And then as a pass catcher as well, something else he showed when he was in Arizona. I'm not sure if Lamar has ever had somebody in the backfield like speed wise.
Yeah.
That dictates how defenses play just like he does. So both of these guys, last night, DeMario and those linebackers from the Saints were in a crazy situation because of Drake's speed and obviously Lamar on the keepers.
Yeah, so the Ravens have outrushed their opponents by 685 yards this year. That's most in the NFL. They've also led for 365 minutes. The only team who's led more, the Philadelphia Eagles. So that encapsulates like how good they are. My favorite thing that I saw last night was like their pistol run game. That's like Lamar in the shotgun, and the back is lined up directly behind him. So a lot of times, and I want to get Marcus and RC's perspective on this. We do this as an offense because, one, it balances us. Like, it forces symmetry. Two, the back gets to keep his shoulders square. You know, like, there's never the moment where the cut is predetermined, so the shoulders stay square. I think the third thing is there's maybe not as many tips and tendencies to where the back is offset. So I love, like, that. Because that allows such a midline run game and Lamar kind of being horizontal as a runner. Like, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, like, what's the challenge with the pistol?
It's everything that you want teams to do from under center,
but allows the quarterback to be comfortable off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
When I see a back offset, it right away now limits the type of runs you can do, and it also tells me where the run will go right away, right? Because from that position, there's only so many ways and opportunities to get him the football.
Yeah.
From the pistol, you can get a zone. From the pistol, right. You can get a stretch. From the pistol, you can get a dive. You can get all of these things that you can't necessarily get when the back is offset.
Yeah.
And it also changes what you do out of play action.
Right.
It can change the roll. It can change the drop. And so it makes the team so much more versatile, but also gives the quarterback the opportunity to survey the defense off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I think it is the answer to your too much shotgun question.
I agree.
Without having to go back to what many offensive coordinators might feel is an antiquated way of offense.
I think it's fascinating how RC looks at it from the back end, because up front for us as defensive linemen, it gives you block development for a longer time. We're playing blocks longer when you're in the pistol. Absolutely.
Because the back is further far.
Back is further away from the line of scrimmage. You can't necessarily read action too when the quarterback turns his back.
Yep.
So you have to rely on your block taking you to the football, right? And then when you're dealing with two guys like that with so much speed, block development for them becomes about space, as opposed, like, I can play.
I don't have to get pancakes. I don't have to kill you.
I can play a zone perfect.
Yeah.
But if it's a 5-yard difference between me and
them. You talked about some of the cutbacks from Drake last night.
Exactly.
I think that's why you saw that. And they were all out of that pistol.
Yeah. Baltimore, the Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers challenge you as defensive linemen to stay educated the entire football game. And as football players, when we feel like it's a play that needs to be made, most of the time we go rogue.
Right.
And that's when they get you.
We get dumb.
Yeah.
They put you into those situations, though. You start to feel the pressure. All right, so on the Ravens defensive side, we got to see Roquan Smith making his debut.
Ooh, boy.
What do you think about the Ravens defense and why they had so much success last night?
Ooh, they were second lining in New Orleans. And if you know what a second line is, you know there was a party at the quarterback, too, Swag. When you look at this team, it was about what Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator, was able to do from a disguise standpoint.
Yeah.
I did a tape after the game. And I called it peekaboo. I said, now you see me, now you don't. They never gave you exactly what they showed pre-snap. And there were some rushes where there was always a lineman dropping or a backer dropping that was lined up within the line of scrimmage. And now you're taking away crossers. You're giving Andy Dalton something to figure out post-snap. One of my favorite plays of the game was late in the game when Calais Campbell sacked Andy Dalton.
Sure.
And I know he probably sounded like Mike Tyson after, right? He's like, I broke my back. And they said, well, how, Mike? Spinal. Right? And so when you saw that, I thought to myself, okay, how does this happen? They're playing zone up top, and they only rush four when they show six on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters had a tail with an X nasty, and they locked the X nasty. Now you can't get the football out of your hands quickly. So many adjustments being made to a team that wasn't making those adjustments early in the season.
I thought their simulated pressures that you're kind of talking about were great. I think from an offense perspective, just touching on Roquan, one, how do we block him? Like in the run game, he stood out. So I think teams are going to look at that defense and go like, how do we get to Roquan, in our run game? And the second thing is, it certainly felt like it's going to free up Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
Because Roquan was so good in coverage and some of those similar pressures, Patrick Queen was utilized as a pressure guy.
Yeah.
And now I got to, as an offense, figure out, do we have the people in the game to block Patrick when it comes to his blitzer?
And that's what we talked about. Remember the news broke about the trade, and I said Patrick Queen is back to where he was at LSU.
Yeah.
And you saw him be used in the blitz packages and all of that. The thing Roquan brings to the Baltimore Ravens, though, is an absolute stopper. Like, that's really – like, his job is going to be to track the football and get teams in third and long situations. And that's why a lot of these pressures and the ones that you simulated were able to get home. So I thought it was phenomenal using Roquan as a piece to get other guys in great situations
when he had that
as well.
Stretch, that when he got held? Two and third and one stretch, Roquan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The big piece is this. Everybody ain't meant to think. And the best thing Roquan Smith is going to be able to do Queen is say, go run and go
your thing.
And that's going to free him up to be a better player.
Just to put in perspective how good the Ravens defense was, the Saints entered last night's game averaging 141 rushing yards per game, which ranked eighth in the NFL. The Ravens held him to a season low 48 rushing yards. That's a huge difference.
Instant impact.
There
I legit thought that Taysom Hill wasn't used as much because of Roquan.
Yeah, probably. It makes sense. Okay, let's get to a big piece of news here that we've been following on NFL Live really since
yesterday. Josh Allen dealing with an elbow injury in his throwing arm. Head coach Sean McDermott said yesterday he'll update the media on Allen's situation Wednesday. But for more on this right now, we bring in ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Jeff, what are you hearing about the Allen injury?
Hi, Laura. You know, I don't know if this is good news or bad news or no news at all, but I continue to hear from my sources that there is not enough of an update on these test results that we're awaiting to give you any kind of word or indication about Josh Allen's status. Now, you mentioned we know already from Chris Mortensen reporting a day ago that it is his UCL, that's his elbow, and those ligaments and nerves around it that are being tested at this point. A good news, bad news situation here. The good news is that ultimately he was able to throw the ball 69 yards on the final drive after suffering that injury, which tells you that it's not exactly torn necessarily to a degree that he can't throw the football. The bad news is he's only missed one other game before in his career, and it was a four-game stretch his rookie year in 2018. It was a UCL to his throwing elbow. So the same type of injury that he's dealing with right now. We will get you up to date as soon as we hear anything about whether he will be playing in this upcoming game against the Vikings. It will be Case Keenum as his backup who will start in his place if he can't go, Laura.
Yeah, really interesting there, Jeff, especially tying it into the previous injury history. Joining us now, ESPN injury analyst and physical therapist Stefania Bell. We're still waiting on more information, as Jeff just outlined there, Stefania, but let's back up a little bit. What exactly is a UCL injury?
So it stands for ulnar collateral ligament, and it's on the inside of the forearm. Basically, it attaches from the lower end of your arm bone down to the ulna or forearm bone, and it serves as a check rein, really, for when your forearm starts to deviate a little bit to the outside, which happens when you throw. Right underneath it, the ulnar nerve. So the nerve we're hearing referenced in relation to this can get stretched when that's aggravated. When a thrower goes up and back, that puts tension on that ligament. When we saw Josh Allen get hurt, he got hit as he was in the extreme end of his throwing motion. So not only, as you can see in that shot, is his arm being taken beyond the normal range of motion he would normally use to throw, but he's encountering resistance because he's trying to make a forward pass. That stress across his elbow is significant.
You know, this is usually thought of as a baseball injury, right?
Right.
Those of us with experience in baseball know a ton about that. Give us some comps of players who've dealt with the injury and also some of those who have maybe played through it, actually, because there is a possibility, depending on the severity, that that can happen.
Right. You're right. There's so many we could list in baseball. And baseball and football are different throwing motions, which I think is one reason why we've seen some football throwers be able to play despite having an injury to the ligament. Carson Palmer was dealing with something like this in the latter part of his career, chose not to have it fixed and continued. Then we see a younger thrower like Nick Mullins, who had a complete tear, a traumatic incident similar to what Josh Allen had. He had a complete tear and had that repaired. Now, it wasn't a full Tommy John surgery, which is the thing we usually associate with this. It was called a primary repair, so a shorter recovery because they were able to use the ligament. But Jake Delhomme, if you remember that name, was actually the first pro quarterback to have Tommy John surgery and return to professional level of play afterwards.
Interesting.
Why is he able to make the 70-yard throw at the end of the game?
That's a great question. There are a lot of thoughts about that. Number one, he's got a cannon for an arm. You might have noticed that. Number two, adrenaline. It's always a factor with these injuries. Number three, sometimes just in the way you're throwing, you're coming across in a different way that doesn't necessarily put the same kind of stress on the ligament. Also, consider this. It's one throw. Many times this injury gets aggravated by repetition and high velocity.
So will that impact the potential of a day-to-day practice for him?
Potentially. I think that's also premature because right now, not knowing exactly what the spectrum is, look, if it is a conservative approach, if they do decide rest and rehab, the first thing is rest. Let the inflammation, the swelling subside. If you're doing something along the lines of a PRP injection to promote healing, you definitely want to wait at least a couple of weeks to let that settle in, and then you start a return to throwing program. So it really depends on the nature of the injury, what he's able to do functionally, because that's a big factor. Sometimes the imaging doesn't tell the whole story.
Real quick, I'm sorry. So this is more function for Josh rather than this is pain management, I'm super tough?
It's a combination because the pain can interfere with the ability to function. Okay. You know, if when you go to throw, you get a sharp pain, it's going to change what you're able to do. But I would say also imaging doesn't tell us everything, right? Sometimes the imaging can look terrible. And Jeff Darlington referenced the prior injury. Sometimes scar tissue in the area, that can cloud the imaging as well. So you really want to see how is the player functioning, and the player gets a say. You know, if even if you thought there was something to do surgically that might have to happen eventually, and again, we're speculating, but if you go conservatively, the player wants to see what he can do.
Sure.
You know, if I rest it, if I treat this, what can I still do?
You know, especially a player like Josh Allen. Now, we'll continue to monitor this, but it is worth pointing out they're looking at the imaging right now. They're probably having a lot of these conversations.
Yes.
That's why this is taking some time. Sean McDermott expected to update us on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. We might be seeing you later in the week. Thanks so much.
I will stand by.
Okay, coming up, we got a packed show here on NFL Live. Jalen Ramsey called out his team's struggling offense. Here we are, guys. Think maybe this one should have been kept to himself. Plus, the Jets were able to do the impossible. Slow down, Josh Allen. A lot of that before he was injured. Dan and RC are going to talk about how the Jets defense was able to expose some weaknesses in the Bills offense. Stay tuned for that. NFL Live is presented by USAA. This Veterans Day, join us in celebrating all those who serve.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, everybody. Let's read and react to some news from around the NFL. Derek Carr and the Raiders lost to the Jaguars on Sunday, dropping a 2-6 on the season. The Vegas QB struggled to find the right words after the loss. Take a listen to this.
There's a lot I want to say, you know, but if I'm honest, I don't need to say it here, you know. And there's things that will be said. There are things that need to be addressed and all those things. But I think for as a whole, the urgency part of it, that after 30 minutes of football, we have to learn that the game is not over. I feel like I've been in this situation a lot where new coaches or this or that, and you have to teach the new guys, like, this is how we do it, and this is the mentality, and this is, and that gets tiring, but at the same time, it's my job.
I mean, you almost want him to say whatever it is that he's holding back, but my goodness, what do you make of that, Marcus?
One, this is what 2-6 will do to you. Whew. As a football player. Also, at the newness in which he spoke about, I'm sure Josh McDaniels is mixed in there. I'm sure trying to get these new pieces acclimated. And remember, this was a Raiders team with less talent last year that entered into the playoffs because Derek Carr was playing well. Now, he's got some fault in this as well. But ultimately, when you start talking about the potential of quitting after 30 minutes into a game, your problems are way bigger than execution and getting the ball to playmakers.
Yeah.
That is a problem, guys.
Yeah, they did all that last year, you know, with an interim head coach. I mean, a lot of it was thanks to Derek Carr's leadership. So
right. You're
seeing him hold back there. That's very interesting. On the winning end of that game was Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Jacksonville trailing 17-0 in the second quarter, but Lawrence nearly perfect from that point on. He posted the 98 QBR, completing 22 of his 25 pass attempts. The Jaguars scored on 5 of their 7 drives during that span. Dan, we saw them in London. They weren't able to do it, but this was a different story. It was impressive to me. What stood out to you about Lawrence's performance on Sunday?
Best game I've seen him play as a pro. Most needed game he's needed as a pro. I counted 5 big-time throws out of him. That means the situation of the game, throwing under pressure, and then the coverage indoor window that you got to do it. Here's 2 examples to show how good he was making big-time throws. First of all, you got Trevor Lawrence having to move in the pocket. Denzel Perryman, the A-gap defender, is going to come up inside. He's got a shift now to his left. Great job of keeping his eyes downfield under that pressure and making that ridiculous throw to Marvin Jones, even though that's pretty good coverage. That was a four-point lead when he had second and 11 backed up with like 9 minutes to go. So you're talking about in the moment handling the situation and then dealing with the pressure and then making a big-time throw. They're littered all over that second half. That's why he has those moments when you go stud. That's why he was the number one pick, because there's not a lot of guys. That throw we just saw, I think there's five guys in the league that can do it.
You know, you're seeing more of those moments come back out, and it's worth remembering that he's almost still a rookie, right? What happened last year,
this is a restart.
You almost have to wipe it clean.
Totally.
Exactly. Okay, so let's get to the big news of yesterday, the firing of head coach for the Colts, Frank Reich, and then the hiring of ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday as the interim coach. Colts owner RC Jim Irsay explained why Jeff was the right guy to do the job. Let's listen to that first.
I'm glad he doesn't have any NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for all our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available.
RC, what do you make of the whole situation in Indy?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. Congratulations, Jeff. I wish you the best. I believe that you are a very capable human because of your character and your personality to be in that locker room. I also believe that you have the intelligence to do the jobs. Now, let's get to this. Many people are talking about race. This isn't about the race of the coaches. There were guys like Gus Bradley, who are former head coaches on that staff, or guys like Scotty Montgomery. So it's not about their color. This is about relationship. And that does bring it to race for this reason. There isn't the representations of faces like mine, of minority faces, who can build the familiarity that Jim Irsay has built with Jeff Saturday. Now, let's think about some of the bad things or the downsides to this. Jeff Saturday, how is he going to walk into Gus Bradley's office and say, you should call these plays? Or how is he going to tell Scotty Montgomery the running back room should run like this when you haven't been there, you haven't been in that position to elevate? And if I'm a player, I'm going to think about this. You're not with us. How are you with us? Were you here in the offseason? Were you here doing training camp? Have you been here for the first 9 weeks of the season? And so if you're not with us, then you must be with him. How can I share with you what I'm going through? How can I tell you about the difficulties I'm facing as a player and not believe that you're going to sit on Jim Irsay's couch later on that night and pillow talk? I believe in Jeff Saturday. I think Jeff Saturday is a good man. I've shared things with him. Bottom line is this. It was irresponsible to hire him as your head coach. It says you are not concerned with experience. You are not concerned with what you've earned. You are concerned with comfort. You're concerned with familiarity. And when it does come to hiring the right coach, whether it be a black coach or a white coach, it's always been about comfort. It's always been about familiarity. And this is another time that somebody has jumped the line. It ain't always nepotism. It ain't always white privilege. Sometimes it's just the wrong decision.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, RC. And lots of decisions for Saturday to make in the coming days, right? But the decision as to who will call the plays has been made. Let's get Dan back in here on this one. Dan, pass game specialist, assistant quarterbacks coach Parks Frazier will call the plays. This was first reported by NFL Network, confirmed by ESPN. Frazier has never called plays at the collegiate or professional level. Dan, what's he up against? You know, this is a new role for him, and he's got to do it in just a few days and be ready to go.
I'm pretty sure I've been a part of this before. We fired a coach or offensive coordinator in Detroit midseason, and we were going to London, and they hired a guy who was going to take over that week for offensive coordinator and play calling. We got beat 45-14, and he's a really good coach, did the best he could in a tough situation. A lot of it is the familiarity of the play call, the lingo, the language that Indianapolis uses to give them some kind of a chance, not only this week, but moving forward. But I've said this many times. It's a totally different world from designing a game plan to calling plays. One is a science and repeatable. One is art and completely off of feel. It's another massive step and massive challenge in this process for Jeff Saturday and the Colts. But at least you have somebody there that knows what the players will hear, they'll understand. But it's good luck because it is a massive challenge.
You know, I will point out, too, obviously you don't have Matt Ryan out there who's had the experience, you know, maybe to weather some of this storm.
Maybe he'll be on the headset.
He might
like
be.
That.
Sam Ehlinger, of course, an inexperienced starting quarterback now for them. All right, still to come on NFL Live. There were stars in Marcus's eyes yesterday. The possibility of OBJ playing in Dallas. Well, Jerry Jones likes the idea, too. We're going to talk about it next. Wait till you hear what these guys have to say, plus what Jerry says. You're watching NFL Live, presented by USAA.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're watching Veterans Week coverage on ESPN, brought to you by USAA.
Sunday NFL Countdown has you covered for Week 10, 10 a.m. Eastern. And then the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for Commanders-Eagles at 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. Hey, let's get to a little bit of Adam Schefter from last night. On Monday Night Countdown, you guys, if you hadn't seen it, whatever, if you have, it's great to see it again.
You like that?
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it?
They kind of turned first class on that flight home into a nightclub, and they're telling me all the dance moves I need to do with my hands.
Got Vanilla Ice over there, but we got Riff Raff over here.
You like that?
Oh, my goodness.
We don't have to actually show that.
Yeah. We like that.
It's actually...
Adam?
It's actually strange that Adam could be stiffer than Kurt, though.
That's not stiff.
I thought it was all the way as stiff as it could possibly get.
Damn, you be going...
It was more...
But this how Schefter look.
I was like, what's that crinkling? Oh, it's just Adam.
What do you mean, man?
Guys,
no,
I got to tell you, I think Adam works out. Like,
Adam looked good,
like,
man.
Pretty swole. I don't know. Yep. Anybody, you don't agree with me?
Yesterday you said that Kirk was ripped. Now Adam works out.
Schefter looks swole, bro.
Schefter also says when he works out on the road, he doesn't take his clothes with him because they're sweaty.
He
just leaves them. I take old clothes that I plan on like getting rid of.
You know what?
I work out in them and I throw them out.
Okay,
but you on the road every week.
We weren't supposed to get to that.
Wait.
I had my wife go buy like really cheap socks and underwear.
We're supposed to be talking about Schefter being butt naked.
I have to reveal something because you led me there, guys. Let me tell you about Dan's jacket really fast. So there was a lost and found rack in the ESPN green room of jackets and clothes that had been left there for maybe years. And Dan started looking through the rack. He said, "Man, this is kind of nice." So whoever you are, ESPN employee,
you stole something from Lost and Found.
Dan is now wearing it.
No,
it
was
a Lost and Found jacket.
And there was a sign saying if someone doesn't claim this by, like, I think, like the first week of November.
Did you wash it? Did you take it to the cleaner?
No.
You just put it on the same day.
I got to say, you know what? Full transparency.
Dan, that
it looks pretty good.
I told you all this in confidence.
And it fits. It looks like it's a baby face.
Fried chicken, but you'll put on old Lost and Found dirty jacket.
He nasty. He don't wear shoes.
We gotta go. More on this later. To Tom Brady and finally getting back on the winning side of things. I love you, Dan.
You're gonna have a rash
this game-winning touchdown that you see from Tom Brady was some vintage Brady. Had some elements to it that reminded you of that, right? So the Rams suffer another loss. Jalen Ramsey on the Rams side of things wasn't happy with his offense. Listen to this.
We have so many games where the defense will get a stop and then we'll go to the sideline and they'll be like, y'all stay locked in. So y'all gonna have to go back out there again. Like, it shouldn't be like that. We gotta have some dogs who gonna be like,
close this out.
We're going to close this out, right?
Ooh, okay. RC, what do you make of what Ramsey had to say?
This is the worst thing that ever happened to you in a football game and you're a defense. You get a big stop and you fired up. Yeah, yeah, let's go. Trainer comes over, hands you the Gatorade. Punch team. Oh, hell. Oh, hell. That's like the worst thing that could ever happen to a defensive player. I think what Ramsey, the most telling part about what Jalen Ramsey said to me was, you got to have some dogs. Yeah. Like anybody who's ever been in the locker room know that that actually doesn't have anything to do with how you play. It's about how you approach playing.
Yeah.
It's about how you take the field. It's not about the successes and the wins and losses of the plays. What he's saying is you're not believing, and in not believing, you're letting us know you're not going out there with the expectation of executing, yeah. And that's a problem.
Look, I'm going to keep the same energy I kept with Aaron Rodgers with Jalen Ramsey. Keep it in-house, bro. Like these type of comments, man, should not be in the public for public consumption. Maybe I'm old school in that regard. Like, but to me, now you're alienating and you've set apart. You've already set a line.
There's a separation.
Yeah, you've set different. It's no longer a conversation of respect. It's a conversation of, man, y'all heard what Jalen said about what we're doing over here. And look. Let everybody in on football and the NFL. If it's not a little dissension between your defense and offense, usually you're not a really good football team.
Yeah, you want that
like
competitive
you need a little bit of competitive edge between both units. It's just when this stuff go public, it bothers me. And maybe it's because I was the media child in Dallas. I don't believe that this makes you better.
Yeah.
And that's my big thing with it. But he right.
Yeah. There's some truth there. That also might be.
When Lydell called me, I said, but did he lie?
Yeah, that's the truth.
Where is the lie? It's not there. Okay, Dan, we know that the Rams O-line has been riddled with injuries. What would you change in L.A. to try to get things back on track?
Play caller? And I preface that with saying it's hard to do anything good.
Sean McVay calls the plays, for people who don't know.
I think Sean has to entertain giving up play calls. And, again, I want to preface by saying this. It's hard to do anything good with a good offensive line. They've been decimated up front. And the only person on this offense that gets open with is Cooper Kupp. That being said, when they struggle, I watch their tape and I feel like Sean reverts back to the things of the past that worked. Mm-hmm. The 2019, 18 stuff that was with a completely different offensive unit. And if I feel that way, then the people watching the tape for the defense feel that way.
Yeah.
And I get it why Sean does it, because he's like, when times are hard or you can't get anything going, it's tough. I know this has worked, right?
Can I ask you a question, Dio?
Yeah.
We say this all the time on television, right? O-line bad, you can't do much. How do you work around it? Because you're in the season.
Yeah. The reality is you always start with the question, like, can we block them? What can we block? You know, and then you go from there and you build off that. And again, that is a very small pool of plays right now. But the thing is, Mark, is like when things are struggling for this offense or where they get in a lull, Sean reverts back to that stuff that he did with Jared Goff or that he may have done with other skill players.
And you still can't block it.
Well, it's a different group.
Gotcha.
It's a different skill group.
Gotcha.
It's different and it's predictable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's a predictability of it in their offense right now that I feel like maybe a new set of eyes and a new voice in those moments could benefit this offense slightly.
A reminder, Liam Cohen is their offensive coordinator.
Very bright.
And he did that. I mean, recently at Kentucky he called plays. You
they
didn't
call you. They hiring people.
Well,
on TV.
It's like we're not letting Dan go.
Predictability of his jacket. Don't give him a rash.
Hey, that lost and found jacket looks good. I just
want
to know whose it is.
We don't care if he don't
Up next, Touchscreen Tuesday with Dan and RC. They're going to talk about how the Jets defense was able to make Josh Allen look sort of human. Stay tuned. You're watching NFL Live presented by USAA.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Monday Night Football returns next week with an NFC East rivalry game. Marcus is doing the gritty over here. We don't have the camera on him. Okay, Jalen Hurts and the undefeated Eagles hosting the Commanders, who looked better last week. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Monday Night Countdown kicks off our coverage at 6 Eastern. Can't wait for that one. All right, let's get to some news here. Odell Beckham Jr. is still a free agent.
Come on!
Trying to figure out where he's going to end up. Well, Swagoo is hoping that those handful of teams he threw out, you know, really does actually have to be the Cowboys.
Come on.
One of them was the Dallas Cowboys. Here's what Jerry Jones said about his interest.
Odell is someone that we have all the appreciation in the world for what he is as a competitor. Know that the Cowboy star on that helmet, when he puts it on, could look pretty good.
I mean, he's going as far to talk about, like, putting the jersey on.
Come on, man.
This is music to your ears. I kind of feel bad as if he's teasing and it doesn't happen. But I'll be here for you.
I'm just happy we're talking about it.
Okay.
Boogie, yeah. How many times have I sat on this set and told Jerry and them to get certain people?
A lot.
This is another one of those times. I get it. Look, the great Stefania Bell told me that this is called a revision when you get the second ACL surgery. And it takes a little bit more time. People are a little bit more leery about your recovery and how you're going to come back. But I don't give a damn. Make a revision, Jerry. Sign Odell Beckham Jr. And look, it's boom or bust. Like, it's no right. In between. If you get him and he stays healthy, he is absolutely going to help you in your quest for a Super Bowl. Like, we saw Odell Beckham Jr. change. Dan just came off a conversation talking about Sean McVay and that offense struggling. They wouldn't be this bad with OBJ.
Right.
I guarantee you. They might still be bad, but they wouldn't be this bad with a healthy Odell Beckham Jr.
You got
Jerry,
think,
do it, man.
You got at least a few more touchdowns, right,
yep.
If you have OBJ. But
yeah.
You would much prefer to see him wearing that star and that cowboy.
Come on, Frisco, big dog.
Let's do it.
I got you. We going to eat good. We
dance.
We going to drink good. We going to be at Nick and Sam's. We going to be at the store. We going to be eating sushi. Come on, man.
All right, Odell.
Come on.
Listen, you may want to play for the Cowboys. That's all good. But, you know, that's really the sell that you want. It's time for Touchscreen Tuesdays. It's time for Dan and RC.
I'm in my zone.
This is actually my favorite day that we've ever done this. Kevin Byard may have picked off Dan's two favorite quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks.
Thought we were close.
So DBs like you can't put hands on me at the line of scrimmage.
I don't know what the hell they're playing.
He's actually where he's not supposed to be. Condensed splits, big posts, tutties.
This what they wanted. This what they get. I'm in my zone.
A good friend of ours named Michael Greenberg says the best three words in the English language are J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And the Jets were absolutely phenomenal in the second half against the Buffalo Bills after Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen dominated in the first half. Dan, what were some of the changes you saw made?
Yeah, so really in the second half, they went to what we call cover six. You know that. It's quarters to the field and cover two to the boundary, because when the Bills get the ball on a hash, they really want to start everything into the boundary. Why? Shorter throw, ball gets out of your hands quicker, easier throw. And so that started to change a little bit. Also, a little bit more coverage disguise from that defense, because it kind of messed with Josh Allen, what he was looking at.
Well, also what we saw that allowed the four-man pressure to get
no
to
doubt.
Josh Allen because he held on
no
to
doubt.
The ball. Sauce Gardner was able to get a pick early on in the game.
That's out
but
of that
we
cover
love,
six.
Right, we love this play. Even though it's maybe anticlimactic
right.
from a finish standpoint, it was a great thing to display X's and O's of how to stop Josh Allen.
And that's because they took Josh Allen's greatest strength, his incredible competitiveness, and use it against them. So this is second and 15. You get a 4-by-1 set. What I mean by that is there's four up top. They get kind of that extended receiver, a bunch, and then that single down here. Now the coverage is going to be a relatively simple thing. Josh Allen is going to catch the snap, and RC, he's going to peek to
one
that
second
safety.
Right here, though. Here's the first thing that happens. You think if you give us 4-by-1, you're actually putting players away from us?
Right.
What you're doing is bringing us to the party. If I'm Sauce Gardner, once I see this contact, I'm now pushing front side. If I'm the hook,
hook defender. I'm looking front side as well. And as the safety, I can now split. He's splitting the formation,
see?
No longer splitting the field.
And that's the part for me as a quarterback I'm looking at, because as the safety goes back, I'm thinking of him as a half-field safety.
Yes.
And we treat that as a middle field open thing,
right,
when in reality, he's going splitting to that formation,
yep,
and he's going to drop down, which makes it a middle field
but
close.
But doesn't this look like quarter, quarter, half?
Absolutely.
Which we saw early?
I call it as mud. This looks like a muddy coverage on the back end to me right now as a quarterback.
Yep.
Josh Allen's thinking, is it one? Is it three? Is it two? Is it four? Is it cover six? There's so many different coverage options that they disguise. Now, here's the reality for me, RC, with the competitiveness. Right now, again, it is second and 15 at home.
Yep.
You're really trying to go high low with the big in and the shallow cross.
Here's let's talk about the discipline of the New York Jets, which we don't normally talk about. Look at all these guys. No one is biting the cheese. Here's cheese. They're trying to
but
get
that's
them
what
caught
I'm
in
trying
the
to get you to jump up on that shallow
Absolutely.
Cross.
Absolutely.
And you guys are staying back. That's the challenge for Josh Allen.
So now we're picked up here. We can break top down here. You got to fit it into this window. And we're also bracketing the outside receiver.
And instead of Josh Allen on second and 15, throwing that shallow to Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
At worst, it's going to be third and seven, third and eight. Josh Allen forces this ball downfield into basically a team party, into what should be an interception,
yep,
because he believes no matter what the coverage is, I can make that throw. The shallow cross is the right read because it's the only read, and the Jets defense did it consistently in that second half.
This is what we know. Josh Allen is one of the best football players in the world. But this day, maybe he should have looked across the field, and as my man Dan said about Zach Wilson, live to play another day.
My man.
Let's go, boys. Excellent. Okay, coming up, Justin Fields put on the Jets in his performance Sunday against the Dolphins. Hear why we think his speed is what makes him so special. That's coming next. NFL Live is presented by USAA. This Veterans Day, join us in celebrating all those who serve. And in part by the CMA Awards on ABC. Live tomorrow, 8, 7 Central.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
His ability to run the football is no question about it.
Fields takes off.
And if you think I'm scared, I can say you did wrong.
Now he's going to have to keep it himself. He runs, he gets the first down to midfield. Away at the 40! Can he beat the angle? He does! Touchdown! 61 yard! A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
Although it came in a loss, Justin Fields' performance on Sunday against the Dolphins was historic. He ran for 178 yards, the second most by a quarterback in a game since 1940, trailing only Colin Kaepernick in the divisional round of the 2012 playoffs against the Packers. Fields also threw for three touchdowns, becoming the first player in NFL history with at least 150 rushing yards and three passing touchdowns in a game. It was impressive to watch. Dan, why did Fields have so much success on the ground Sunday, though?
A big reason why is the variety of runs that they've started to kind of deploy within this offense. It's not just Justin go run around. There's a very strategic way that they're going to do it. First of all, it's the traditional zone read. You read the backside end, you got a lead blocker. This is great for Justin because it puts the ball in his hands as a decision maker again. He goes down and gets 17 yards there. I love the fact at the end, untouched. Now this is your traditional quarterback sweep, bunch concept, but see how many people pull on this one. Center, left guard, left tackle, and those two lead blockers out front. Five guys in front. Justin, great vision on the cutback. Again, doesn't get touched at the end, but this is the one that everyone in the world has seen. There's one thing that stands out to me. When he climbs the pocket, his feet are in the air. Both feet are off the ground right now. Just watch the acceleration that happens once he again hits the ground. This play makes no sense to my freaking brain because it's the NFL and no one is even remotely close to him. Guys, that's over three runs that were over 100 yards. The biggest takeaway I have, he wasn't touched on any of them.
Hey, Dan,
You remember there's a guy that works with you on Monday morning, get up, and he said right after Lamar, Justin Fields was the most explosive open field runner from the quarterback position.
When did you say it?
And nobody believed me.
I didn't believe you, to be honest with you, when you said it. And yeah. I was happy I told you that I didn't say that. I was stupid. I mean, it was impressive. Now, he's not going to get a buck 78 every game, but yeah. Holy smokes.
Here's the deal, man. Like, this is very similar. I'm giving Luke Getsy some credit.
Yes.
It's very similar to what we've seen from Brian Daboll with
Josh.
Oh, wow.
The whole premise of Justin Fields' career in the NFL is to let him be great at what he's great at right now.
I was talented.
Until you bring those other parts of his game that need to be developed up to the standard. The best thing for a player when they are in the NFL, or the best thing when you are within the structure of a team, is for your coach to say to you, what do you do best?
Right.
And let's highlight that. And this is what's happening with Justin Fields. This is why also when Justin Fields was coming out of the draft, Ryan Clark said the talent between him and Trevor Lawrence is very close and similar, and we don't think it's a big jump between both of those guys, because we focused so much on the beautiful passing that we don't take in totality. This is the fight that Lamar Jackson goes through every single week, or every time we have a legit conversation about playing a quarterback position. The difference with Justin is this, though. I think Justin can develop into an elite passer in the NFL as long as he's under the right tutelage.
Real quick, I agree. The two things he's done so far with a passer, so much tighter mechanically with his feet, so much tighter mechanically with his throwing motion. So agree.
I think they've made everything quicker for him in that throwing motion, in his feet. He's making those reads quickly, and when it's not there, Justin Fields doesn't mind running the football. But they're giving him option. They're moving the pocket. It's not about just stand there. Let's try to diagnose everything on the outside. They're treating Justin Fields, to me, like an elite shooter. We're going to give you some layups. We're going to give you some free throws. And then as the game goes along, we're going to give you opportunities to shoot the deep ball. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in the last 3 weeks, and he's played really well.
We call that cutting the fat off stuff.
Yeah, like,
cut the fat off.
Now you got to completely change how your game plan for him, too.
Right, good point. He leads the NFL in QBR for the last 3 weeks, so it wasn't even just this past week. He's been quite good.
Against good defenses, too.
Exactly.
Dallas, New England.
Miami.
Time for one more thing before we go. Listen, if you missed it earlier in the show, Dan got his coat off the lost and found rack here at ESPN. So if this is your sports coat, please.
Wow.
On Twitter. Now, I will say this, Dan. Are you giving it back? Like if somebody.
Kevin Negandhi. Kevin Negandhi, we found your coat.
Too big for Negandhi.
My guess.
Kevin Negandhi.
No, this is too big for baby face.
Too big for field, right?
This could be like Dalen Cuffs.
Okay.
Never heard of him.
Who could it be?
How does it fit so well?
Maybe also, Legler?
Also, just
Legler.
For clarification.
Big Park?
You did not.
That would be more like this one.
He took it off the rack, put it on, and wears it on TV. It looks great.
Mr. Dear Twitter, is that stealing?
Mr. Rashinet.
Is that stealing?